We want, you know what, Tina and I were talking a lot about church and stuff, and we said, we want our sanctuary to feel like a living room. We don't want it to be like a, you know, religious experience or something. We want you to feel like maybe you're over at our house, and we're all kind of in the living room, and thank you, and we're just enjoying each other, right? Make it like that. So don't get nervous. Everything's good. All right. Praise God. You have a Bible? You know, I didn't get to preach this weekend, so I'm like bubbling over. Plus, being over there to see this miracle, it's like, are you kidding? I can't hardly wait to get to church and talk about how good Jesus is. So let's get to the word right away. It's in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 13 to 14. Guys, don't forget your luncheon tickets. I hope you'll join us October 31st for a great time together for prayer and word. It's going to be great right at the embassy, okay? $15. If you can't afford a ticket, I'll buy a ticket for you. So don't feel like that's a roadblock for you. 2 Chronicles 5, 13 and 14. Indeed, it came to pass when the trumpeters and the singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and the cymbals and the instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good and his mercy endures forever, that the house, look at this, the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud so that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house. When did the glory of the Lord fill the house? When they said, the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. I thought, Lord, if we can begin to say that the Lord is good, even when trials come, difficulty begins to assail us, bad reports come to us, sometimes when we even lose a battle or two, and if we can still say, God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good, then it tells me in the scripture that the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud. And didn't you love that teaching on Sunday by Dr. Paul Hollis? As he began to talk about, we are the house of the Lord. And you know, we don't want this room filled with the glory. I mean, that'd be great, but I want you and I want me to be filled with the glory of the Lord so that we can't stand. Less of us and more of him, amen? And that's really what it's all about. And so this is a key. This is a huge key about God being good. And he's good all the time. Look at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. The Bible says to be anxious for nothing. For no thing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. In other words, make God statements. Make God statements. Make good statements. That we're not going to allow thoughts, words out of our mouth that don't line up with God's eternal word. Regardless of how we feel or whatever's happening around us. And we're not going to be anxious for things because they are so real and they're so pressing on us. In other words, he said in the King James, be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Here's what that Greek word means. It means this. Don't be worried about a thing. Don't be worried about anything, something. No thing. That's the word that he's saying to us in the church today. Don't be worried, because worry cancels out faith. Worry will destroy expectancy. Worry will captivate you, and it will choke out the word of expectancy. It's the Greek word merimnoao. M-E-R-I-M-N-A-O. And it's also used in Matthew chapter 6 And verse 25, and you know these scriptures, but it says this, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is life more than food? Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Now, I like what it says in the King James, because it says, take no thought. And that is so descriptive, especially of the Greek understanding here. He's saying, I don't want you to worry about anything. I don't want you to be anxious about what you're experiencing. I don't want you to take a thought that's worrisome. That's not for you. Jesus was teaching this. He said, I don't want you to have one thought of anxiety. And here's what that word means. Anxiety about obtaining the basic necessities of life. In the context here, Jesus is teaching, take no thought about what you're going to do to get gas or to get rent or to get the food for the groceries or to buy your house or to be able to pay your bills or be able to come up with the money for the down payment. Take no thought about those things. He said, I don't even want you to worry about it. I just want you to remember that God is good and his mercy endures forever. This has got to be the premier statement in our minds. It has to be what overtakes us in the moment of adversity, in the moment when we're finding ourselves in lack or we're seeing ourselves without. I'm not taking that thought. I'm going to say the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever and ever. In other words, in the Greek, it means this. Stop something that's already in progress. Isn't that interesting? It's written in a way when he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. It was in the tense, which he's saying that you're already worrying, so I'm telling you to stop it. He's saying, stop it. Just stop it. Don't worry anymore. I don't know about you, but at night, things seem to be bigger. Situations seem to be darker, don't they? We had rented a car, and this was the worst car I've ever rented. It was terrible. I mean, I hurt myself. I could show you my bruises. It was terrible. It was just small, and it was beating me up every time I tried to get in it. No wonder they don't sell any of those cars. I won't even tell you the brand, lest I offend somebody. But it was terrible. And I couldn't get the lights to turn off, and I guess it was on auto or something. I don't know. So when we left, after we parked the car, we went into the house and went to bed. It's 4 a.m. And the lights hadn't gone off in the car as I walked in the door. And I looked back and they were still on. I thought, well, they'll probably go off. And I never checked them. Guess when I woke up at 4? The first thought I had, your lights are probably still on and your car is not going to start. You better get up and go check that car. I started to worry about the lights that didn't go off, I thought. And I thought, wait a minute here. I'm preaching about worry. I'm preaching about take no thought. And here I am taking a thought at 4 o'clock in the morning about car lights. And I said, I rebuke you, Jesus, devil, Jesus. No, I said, Jesus said, I'm not to worry about the lights in the car. He said, you didn't say that. I said that exactly like that. I said, Jesus, I'm not supposed to worry about the lights in the car. And guess what? I rolled over and went back to sleep. But there are times where I'll get up and anxiety come on me about some silly thing like the light on the car, or did you turn the iron off, or, you know, did you pick up this, or did you forget to lock the doors, or, you know, any kind of silly thing. And it just comes. It comes like you're not going to make it. You're not going to be able to pay your bills. There won't be enough money to do this. What if they shut the electric off? Then what are you going to do? It's like, what? Where does this come from? Here's the interesting point. If Jesus said, take no thought or stop doing, he's saying then that there are options in this. If you and I can take them, that means we can leave them. How do we leave them? By knowing that God is good all the time. And even if my car light did kill the battery, I know God's still good. I never told you the story about Tommy the tow truck driver yet. Maybe I will someday. It's a great story. Our car wouldn't start. And it wouldn't start and it wouldn't start. And we called the towing company and it took them 2 hours to get there. But they finally got there. And we rode around with Tommy for about 3 hours. He got the car off the back of the tow truck at the Ford dealer. They went in there, hooked it up. There was nothing wrong with it. They started it. They said, there's not a thing wrong with your car. And God said, this wasn't about you. This wasn't about your car. This wasn't about this Ford dealer. This was about Tommy. For 3 hours, we talked to Tommy about Jesus. So God, if you want to kill my battery, it's all right, because God is good all the time. If I've got to go down and pay that again, it's okay, because God is good all the time. If I have to be on hold for 5 different people and talk to all of them over again and tell them my social security number 3 times and I just gave the other person the account, don't you people talk to each other? It's all right, because God is good all the time. It's a choice. You don't take any thought. I'm not anxious and I'm not worrying, because God has my life right where He wants it to be. And He will get the glory. My wife and I, when we're split up like that on a plane, we always walk down the aisle, and I'm a little bit larger of a person. And so I'm walking and I say, look, if it's 2 ladies, I get that middle seat. If it's 2 big guys, you get that seat. Because it's hard being in the middle. 6'4" and a half, you know, and I'm like this all the way. And God positions perfectly. She got the theologian, which I thought that was funny today. And I got the entrepreneur. She would have done better with the entrepreneur, I would think. I would have placed her with the entrepreneur. Give me the theologian. But God knows exactly where I was supposed to sit. She took 20B, and that was where I was going to sit. I said, I wanted 20B. I did, and you gave me 23B. But it's okay, because she was the one that grew up Roman Catholic. She was the one that could explain and talk about all of the sacraments and everything with him on a theological basis and speak to him the Word of God for 1.5 hours. When your life looks like it's going in the wrong turn, don't you let it come out of your mouth. Just begin to say, God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. I'm not going to let it come out of my mouth. Listen to Matthew 13:22. Jesus said this. Matthew 13:22. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. You know the word care? Same Greek word. Same Greek word, worry. Worry. Look what Jesus said. He said, when you receive the word of God, worry in this world and the deceitfulness of riches do what? Chokes the word. So every time I'm worrying, the word in me is getting choked, suffocated. Worry suffocates the word. So I've got to always fill my mouth up with God is good all the time. To worry will choke the word. Worry are thoughts contrary to God. It is a suffocating, smothering force that will just shut your whole life down. All your word life, your faith life, worry will shut it down. Some of us are trained to worry from little children. Our parents were great worry people, and they showed us how to worry about everything. this world is a nothing but a worry wart. They're controlling the masses with bad reports. Now, it's up to you what you do with H1N1 flu vaccine. But all I know is every time I go by, it's $24.99. Maybe it's a good thing to get it. I don't know. But all I know is this. My God is a healing Jesus. I walk in a covenant with a healing Jesus. I know no weapon formed against me will prosper. You say, well, the pastor, you got to be wise. You got to be wise. I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about is the propaganda of the world that gets people to worry. Worry about jobs. Worry about the future. Worry about war. Worry about earthquakes. Worry about the economy. Worry about the Republicans. Worry about the Democrats. Worry. I like Smith Wigglesworth when he taught Dr. Summerall, that 18-year-old young man who went to visit him the first time in England, came to the door with a newspaper in his arm, and he said, hello. He opened the door. Smith opened the door. He said, hello. He goes, my name is Lester Summerall. I've come to visit you. He said, you can come in, but leave those lies outside. He wouldn't allow a newspaper in his house. He said, it's nothing but lies, and I don't let deceit, and I don't let worry in my house. Listen, if you're not depressed, watch enough news, and by the time the news is over, you'll go to bed worrying. Worrying somebody's going to break in your house just like they did their house. Worrying that your daughter's going to get raped just like that girl did. Worrying that this is going to happen at your plant just like their plant did. Worrying that this is going to come to your house just like it did to that house. Jesus said, take no thought, because worry chokes the word. Look at Hebrews chapter 3, verse 9. I like this scripture. It says, where your fathers tested me and tried me and saw my works 40 years. God's goodness is proven, church. He's a good God all the time. You see, the children of Israel were in a situation that demanded miraculous intervention. I think we need to throw ourselves in that dimension a little more. That God, if you don't do something miraculous, it's not going to happen. If you don't turn this thing, it won't get turned. If you don't do it, it won't get done. God, I'm crying out to you, and I believe that you're a miracle-working God. There's no explanation for what happened to Pastor Greg. It's just simply God. The word tested means this: to put to the test. To test an object of its quality, to see if its quality is as good as others have claimed, boasted, or advertised. Now watch this. Your fathers put me to the test to see whether or not I was as good as my claims were. You say, that's wrong. No, it's not wrong. That's right. God says, I want you to test me. I want you to put me to the test and see if my claims won't come to pass, won't come true. See that what I said will be true. Come on, put me to the test. God's waiting on the church to put him to the test. Put me to the test, he says. Put me to the test. The circumstances gave rise to a situation that allowed God to be tested. I think God put him in the wilderness on purpose. Matter of fact, I think he did that. He really did. He put him in the wilderness. I wonder why he put him in the wilderness. Maybe because their circumstances demanded then miraculous intervention. And since they couldn't perform any, maybe they just thought maybe they better call out to God and say, God is good all the time. God is good. And suddenly, God passed the test. You know what I want? I want this generation to see that our God passed the test. It was really cute. We went to Tommy Bahamas, downtown Naples. Great place. Nice place. I was buying Greg a shirt. I said, give me the best shirt you got in this room. And his wife, Bobby, she walked up to these three guys and the lady. I think he was the owner. She said, do you believe in prayer? Just like that. They went, no, do you believe in prayer? Do you believe in miracles? She goes, my husband was dead. They go, oh, we're sorry. She goes, no, he's alive now. They're like, okay, lady, what do you want? About a half hour later, she's showing him pictures. Talk about how good God is. Until you're in the circumstance and you need the miraculous. And maybe tonight you're in a condition, a situation, a place where you have to put God to the test. Is he really a miraculous God? Can he really do what he said he can do? Those people were glued to Bobby's little pictures and story. They couldn't believe that it happened the way they said it happened. They kept saying, well, they've got good doctors there. She goes, no, God did this. She talks real calm, and you know, and I'm like, Yahweh, man, glory. She's like, no, Jesus did this. I was like, preach, Bobby, come on, do something. Tell them. Because we're not used to seeing the miraculous. Because most of the time when we get in a hard place, we worry. Guilty. Oh, come on, for crying out loud. I'm worrying about the light on the dome light in the car. It's easy to worry. But the Israelites were placed in a circumstance because in difficult times, I want you to give God an opportunity to be a miracle-working God. He said, they tested me. Then he said this, they tried me. In other words, they found to be true. They found me to be authentic, reliable, approved, trustworthy, and real. That's where people get those words to those songs that says, God is real. God is real. He's a real, real God. You can't sing that until you know he's real. But that's what they found out. That he was a tried God. He was an authentic God. He was a reliable God. He was a real God. He was a trustworthy God. And the next scripture says they saw. The word saw his works. That means this. They perceivingly understood and experienced and assimilated into their life what God did. You know, I found out something about miracles. It changes you. I mean, Greg has always been a soul winner. His daddy was a soul winner. Just went on to be with to the Lord. But that's all Greg does now. He said, you don't understand. I was dead. I shouldn't even be here. God let me live so I could tell you, you can be born again. I mean, what do you say to that? Well, I still don't believe it. I mean, what do you say to that? Right? What do you tell somebody? Well, I died so I could tell you about Jesus. And so you see, understand, experience, and assimilating into your life the miraculous. What's going to reach this region? It's not good worship or good preaching or great children's programs, and those things all help. But doggone it, we've been trying to do that way for a long time. I think God's looking for a people who will try him, test him, and see him, see his mighty works. Believe that in our situations, we don't have to worry, but that we can believe that God is a miracle-working God. Amen? He is, because he's good all the time. What did they see in the 40 years? What did they see? Well, first of all, they saw manna every morning. No small feat, you know. Manna every morning, 3 million people. How would you like to cook breakfast for 3 million? God cooked breakfast for 3 million. You know how much that was approximately? This is what they estimated. 4,500 tons of manna every morning. God said, ding, 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 ding. Breakfast is served. Come and get it. 4,500 tons of manna in the morning. Come on, you know that God is good. Where else are they going to go? Down the convenience store around the rock, the third rock on the left? I mean, where are they going to get this stuff? They were in a circumstance where they needed a miraculous God, and they found one. What else did they see? Listen to this. This is crazy. They saw quail. Can I tell you how many every 30 days? I don't know who figured this out. 90 million quail every month. God brought them. He called them and dropped them on 3 million people. 90 million quail every month and 4,500 tons of manna. Now, if you were them out in that wilderness, how many would say God is good? All the time, God is good. Wouldn't you say that? I would say that. I'd say, like, whoa, God, you are good. But after the second month and the third year and the 13th year and the 26th year, and now we're in the 40 years of 4,500 tons of manna, it's just manna. And oh, it's just quail. Oh, wait a minute, let's talk about the water. Do you want to hear about the water? Watch this. 100 million gallons per week flowed out of that rock. 100 million gallons a week. And it had to flow with such force that it was able to give drink to 3 million people all at one time. Dip and drink. 90 million quail, 4,500 tons of manna every day, 100 million gallons of water a week. Somebody say, God is good. Yes, he is. He's a good God all the time. And that's why Jesus said, don't take any thought what you're going to eat or what you're going to wear. Don't even worry about tomorrow. Let me tell you something. If I call quail into a desert where quail don't fly, if I can bring water out of a rock where water doesn't flow, if I can make bread up in the clouds and cause it to fall down on the ground in the morning for you, come on, what you worried about, baby? How come you don't believe me? I'm a miracle-working God. Don't you know? That's what he was telling them. And so this whole story in Chronicles was, God is good, his mercy endures forever, and the glory of God fell. The glory of God fell. Yet, in spite of all the miraculous they lived in, they became hardened. I don't understand that. How could you become hardened? But that's what it says in verse 8. Do not harden your heart as in the rebellion, in the day of trial, in the wilderness. Harden, it's a medical term. Here's what it means. It describes something hard, such as a callus, a limb that's so stiff it doesn't move. Soil so hard that water won't penetrate. So he said, don't let your heart become calloused, so stiff it won't move, and so hard as soil that it won't absorb the rain. Don't let your heart become hardened. And yet they did, in the middle of the miraculous. I say, okay, God, if you did that miracle for Greg because everybody was praying, why don't we all pray like that all the time? Maybe you'll do more miracles. Why is it our human nature, we only cry out when we're crunched? Is it true? It's like, God, get me out of this. God, help me. God, you better do something. I'm about to drown. Help! Help! And we're praying, man. But when we're safe and secure and everything is good, it's like, well, I really don't have time for prayer today. I'm a little busy. But listen to this. They hardened their hearts in the day of trial. The miracles didn't make an impression any longer. I was telling Greg, I said, you know, if I were you, I'd call a press conference. Get all the TV stations in. Come on down here, sit at a table, get your doctors there, let them tell them what the miracle is. I said, because you know what? You have a window of opportunity with the heathen. Because next week it'll be somebody else's story and somebody else's news. And even the church will forget in a few weeks that God is good. Come on, church. You know what I'm talking about? Don't let it slip from you. Don't let it go. Don't let those thoughts of worry take over. Just continue to remember that God is good. Don't let your heart become hardened or calloused or, you know, that's where they get that word stiff-necked. That word hardened, it's stiff-necked. You're like your limbs won't move and you can only raise your shoulders so high and you can't lean back all the way because your muscles are tight and they're stiff. And he said they become stiff. Hearted people, stiff-necked. Here are the options. Here's our options tonight. Trust that God is exactly who he said he was. That he's exactly who he has declared himself to be. That God is good to me and I'll never forget it. That's my option. I'm either going to believe that God is exactly who he said he was and that he's good to me and that I'll never forget it. Or I'm going to murmur, I'm going to complain, I'm going to become ungrateful, I'm going to be unthankful. I don't know about you, but he's changed my life. I don't know how many times he's changed my life. His grace has been there for you. Just like it's been there for me, hasn't it? His grace. You know those moments when you're hot for Jesus, man. You're in there. You're in the presence of God. You're worshiping. You're believing him. You're feeling him. You're touching him. Wow, it's powerful. And then suddenly things change over a course of time. And now you're not as hot anymore. You're not really pressing in. You're not really there. But he's still there. He's still waiting. But he's changed me so many times like that. He's so faithful to draw me in, to pull me in again, over and over again, and he's pulled you in. He's healed our bodies. I've got my own little testimony. 4 years ago or so, when they said I had a heart attack at the bottom right, left, or right side of my heart, I don't remember what it was. One test, yes. Two tests, yes. That's the problem. Three tests, yes. That's a problem. You need a heart cath. I said, oh, God, you're my healer. Going for the heart cath, come out. They said, the doctor said, there's nothing wrong with your heart. He said, let me switch hearts with you right now. He said, I'd like to have your heart. He said, you got a good heart. I said, amen, because I got a good God. I can't forget that. I can't forget that. I can't forget the quail. I can't forget the water out of the rock. I can't forget 4,500 tons of manna. You can't forget the day that he was found you wallowing around in your blood when you were in your sin, when you were in darkness, when you were near death, when hell had a hold on you, when you were a brand plucked out of the fire. You can't forget that. God has been good to you. Amen. He's rescued my family. Let me tell you about my family. Hellions they were. Oh, they look all prim and proper and Holy Ghost now, and they are, but that's not how we were. They raised in church. Yeah, they raised in church. Yeah, we had family altar. Yeah, they spoke in tongues. Yeah, they went to family camp. Yeah, they went to children's church. Yeah, they helped in the church. Yeah, they were in youth group. And that's about where it ended. I said, God, what happened to my children? And so many times, so deep trials. When we believed in them. And they were faking us out. They were putting on the church face. And we get a phone call that says, you probably need to know this. Your girls are sneaking out of the basement window after you go to bed. We thought, no, not our, not our. Blessed be the name of God, I'll kill them. Not our girls. But they were. And I'm not going to tell you where they were going and what they were doing. But it nearly put her flat on her back. But God rescued my children. God rescued my children. God rescued, God healed my body. God's preserved me through the storm, and he's done the same thing for you. That's why you can't sit there and worry now. God's been too good to you for you to worry about what you're facing right now. Put him to the test. Try me, God says, and see if I will not open up the windows of heaven. Come on, somebody say, God is good. All the time. God is good. Answered prayer over and over and over again. One of the sisters said, I was in Lorraine the other day. We drove by the building over there. My goodness, you got, man, that's a lot of building. We got a big old building over there. I said, yeah, we got a big building over there. We never had any money to build any of it. Not $1. Never had any money in the bank. Still don't have any money in the bank. If you were to look at our checking account in our account over there, you say, how much money you got in the savings? Zero. How much money? Not here in Beachwood. Lorraine, how much money do you have? Don't get nervous. We didn't spend your money. We didn't spend your money. Your money's in the bank. But we never had money to build the building. We built a $2 million building. How'd you do it? I don't know how we did it. We just did it. We did it. God provided it. We bought a church, the building we were in Saturday. Those of you that were there in the conference, we bought that. That was a church. It was a Lutheran church. They went out of business. We bought it, but we didn't have any money. But we bought it. We marched around it. We looked like a bunch of fools. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. What are you doing? I'm buying a building. I got the victory. In the name of Jesus. What are you doing, Pastor? We're going to build it. We're buying this building. Come on, help me. God is good. Come on, church. All the time, God is good. And we bought the building. We bought 10 acres of land. Mike, they said this. I'll never sell this property to you, Pastor. Over my dead body, I would sell this body to you, this land to you. That's the building the gymnasium is on. 2 weeks after he told me that, he had a heart attack and died. I swear, I didn't kill him. I didn't kill him. Don't you spread that rumor. I did not kill that man. He said that. I didn't say it. 2 weeks after they buried him, his wife called me. And she said, I understand you want this 10 acres. I said, yes, ma'am, we do. And I'm so sorry about your husband. She said, well, don't worry about that. She said, how much you want to give me for this land? She said, I'll sell it to you in a heartbeat right now. I said, yeah, it was his heartbeat. And we bought the land. We bought it when it wasn't for sale. The zoning. Church, I could tell you story after story. You can't build that building in here, preacher. So what do you mean we can't build that building? You can't have a Jesus is Lord sign out in the front. What do you mean we can't put up the Jesus is Lord sign? And I remember one time, the Lord said, well, they're all Roman Catholic down there, so go down there and play their game. Now, don't get mad at me or anything, but I put on a collar. Only once. I walked into that council meeting, and they saw me as Father Caton. And I got the zoning, though. Wise as a serpent and gentle as a dove. I'm telling you, God has been good to me. Come on, church. You know God's been good to you. He saved you, healed you, rescued your family, supplied your needs, provided miraculous for you. And I can't hardly wait till we get in our church and build our building and testify to the region about the goodness of God. I can't hardly wait. Don't ask me how it's going to happen. I don't know, but I know God can. Amen. 30 years of quail and manna and water. 30 years of it. Just miraculous stuff. My life has been marked with supernatural goodness. I shouldn't even be here tonight. Not really. When I was 14, I had overdosed on sniffing glue. I was a glue sniffer. You know about glue sniffers? I was hooked. And I overdosed. I was laying in an abandoned building. Wasn't saved. I was out of my mind. And I was laying there and I saw myself from the ceiling looking down at my body at 14. You have stories too, don't you? But it's me. I'm still shaking, baby. Come on, you know God's been good to you. So when the next time you go to worry, you just remember how God has been good to you and brought you through. Doesn't mean our soul's not going to get a little hensy, but our spirit inside is anchored. I like the way Danny sings that song, "My Soul Has Been Anchored." And so you can't sing that unless you have had to have your whole soul anchored. You can't really worship to that song unless you've had to have your soul anchored. That's why sometimes in church people get all like uppity. You know, they're like, what's he yelling about over there? You know, he's talking about my soul's been anchored. My soul's going, yeah, whoa, yeah, whoo, yay, whoo, yay. You're looking back like, shut up. You don't know like I know. See what he's done for me. You know, we come in here all cleaned up and polished, but you don't know the alleyways I used to live in and the garbage cans I used to ransack. And you don't know the people I used to hang with. And if you knew all my story, you wouldn't come back Sunday. But somebody say, God has been good to me. Come on, stand up, church. Hallelujah. God has been good to me. Hallelujah. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Can you thank him for something in your life? Can you thank him for something in your life? Hallelujah. Can you thank him for something? Here's my prayer tonight. Here's my prayer. Don't harden your heart. Don't harden your heart. Don't get hardened to the miracles. Don't get hardened and calloused to the move of God. Don't become so carnal that we get angry when people start talking about spiritual things. We need to hunger and thirst after righteousness. And Lord, I pray tonight that you would soften the hearts of your people. That number 8, I think, is the song that I want you to put on. Just nice and soft. I tell you tonight, church, if your heart has become calloused a little bit, even hardened or stiff a little bit and not responsive to the Holy Spirit, and people are testifying and they're weeping and you're angry because it's taken too long, and you don't find yourself excited like everybody else, and you're not really hungry for the Bible anymore. You walk right by it and it doesn't even have a hold on you. It doesn't pull on your heart anymore. You can just forget about prayer. You don't really care about church. It doesn't matter whether you're with the church people or not, because you don't really even like them anymore. telling you, my God is good. And he will never forsake you. And he will never leave you. And so tonight, let's reunite with the miraculous God. Let's reunite with the King that wants his kingdom to come to the earth. Amen? His kingdom to the earth. That's what we need tonight. We need a people that are so hungry for him. So thankful for the manna and for the water. So thankful that he brings quail out of the south. Make them fly where they don't even fly normally, God. You bring them in where they don't even fly. Look at you, God. Look at you. You're so powerful. Oh, we worship you. You turn it up a little bit. Yeah, we worship you. You're the miraculous God.
Praise the Lord, my soul.
We're going to praise you, Jesus.
And let all that's within me
praise the Lord.
His name. Praise the Lord, my soul.
Because my God is good. He's good.
Let all
the devil's bad, but God is good.
Within me praise his name.
Let everything that have breath in this room tonight praise him. Let everybody in this place tonight give him all the glory that he deserves. Oh, yes.
Praise the Lord, oh my soul. And let all that's within me praise his name. Praise the Lord, oh my soul.
I'm going to praise you, Lord, for everything you've given
and
me. One negative word
that's
out of my
within
mouth.
Me. Praise his name.
I'm not going to let anybody take
for
my praise away.
Die, I will live. And I will tell of the works of the Lord. And sing of his wonders.
I'm going to sing of your wonders, Lord.
I will not die, I will live.
Jesus. Come on, you're not going to die. You're
going to
live. I'm going to praise you, Jesus, with everything in me.
He's a great God.
You're a great God. Yes, you are, Lord. You raise people from the dead. You brought my children back to Jesus. Father, you've given me so much to enjoy.
Get to love you through whatever comes.
Doesn't matter.
What a privilege.
Come on, church.
That I get to love you through whatever comes.
Doesn't matter.
Or how sweet it is. That I get to love. Whatever comes, what a privilege it is that I get to love you through.
It's a privilege, Lord.
Whatever comes,
whatever comes.
Oh, how sweet it is.
This church, Lord.
I will not die, I will
speak
live.
Speak it over this generation, Lord. I'll speak it over this generation, Lord. They'll not die, they'll
die,
live.
I will live.
They won't live for
and
God.
I will tell of the Woo! Works of
live.
The Lord.
Yes, tell of the
sing
works.
Of his wonder.
Come on, Jesus.
I will not die.
worshiping and you want prayer tonight, I just want you to come and stand across the front. I just want to lay hands on whoever wants prayer. Nothing's going to take your praise out of my mouth, Lord. Woo! Nothing, Lord. Nothing, Lord. Yes. Nothing's going to take your praise out of my mouth. Hallelujah. Jesus. Hey, Jesus. You're a miraculous God. A miraculous God.
He's a great God.
You're a miraculous God. I speak miraculous things.
You're a great God.
Miracles, Lord. Miracles.
You're a great God.
Miracles. You're a miraculous God. Nothing's gonna take your praise out of my mouth. Nothing's gonna take your praise out of my mouth. Because you're a miraculous God. You're a miraculous God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. You're a miraculous God. You're a miraculous God. You're a miraculous God. I thank you tonight, Lord Jesus. You're releasing miracles into this place. Lord, these are miracle workers. Yeah, 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 yeah. You're a miracle. Woo, I just went to church with a miracle. That's you. You're a miracle. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Not gonna let anything take the praise out of my mouth. If you're gonna live and you're not gonna die. Hallelujah. Woo, Jesus. Let the miracles be stirred up, Lord. Let the miracles be stirred up, Lord. Let the miracles be stirred up, Lord. Let the miraculous come, Lord Jesus. Because we're going to live and we're not going to die. We're going to live and we're not going to die. And Father, this generation will see a real God. A God that walks and a God that talks. Hey, come on. Thank you, Lord. Fill my brother, Lord Jesus, with the miraculous supernatural power of your presence in his life, God, like a burning in his soul, Lord Jesus.
Praise the Lord, oh my
praise the Lord, oh my soul,
and all
that is within me.
Within me.
Praise the Lord.
His name.
Man, there's a big God inside you, brother, that wants to come out. Woo! A big God inside you that wants to come out. Praise the Lord. 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 Oh, you're a worthy God. Woo. Praise the Lord, oh my God. And all that is within me. You are the God that breathes manna in the morning. Oh, Jesus, thank you, Father. This is a vessel, a miraculous vessel, a miraculous vessel. It's a new day, my brother. It's a change. Like night gives way to the dawn. It's a change. Oh, hallelujah. It's a miraculous change. Thank you, Lord. Fill him, Lord. Fill him, Lord. Fill him, Lord. Fill him, Lord. Hey, Jesus.
I will not die.
You're not going to die. You're going to live.
I will not die.
You're not going to die. You're going to live. You're
going to
live big for God. Big for God. Big for God. We're going to let Jesus out. Let Jesus out.
Woo.
Let Jesus out. Let Jesus out. Oh, yeah, yeah. Jesus, you're the miraculous God. You are the faithful God. You are the wondrous God. Lord, we're resolved tonight, Jesus. We're resolved tonight, Jesus. We've crossed the line.
Whatever comes.
What a privilege. It's a privilege.
That I get
the line. It's the line. It's the line. Walking along the line. Walking along the line. And the Holy Spirit is asking you to cross the line. Cross it. Walk over to the other side. Cross it. Woo. Thank you, Lord.
Whatever comes.
Yeah. Jesus.
What a privilege.
What a privilege,
it
Lord.
Is that I get to.
Oh, let miracles, God. Signs
through.
And wonders.
Whatever comes. Huh. Oh, how sweet it is.
You are the sign and you are the
and
wonder. Nothing's gonna take your praise out of my mouth, Lord.
Nothing's gonna take your praise out of my mouth,
Jesus. Come on, let's speak over this generation. Let's speak over our children.
I will not die.
Because the devil came to steal, kill, and destroy, but God said, no, they're going to have life. They're not going to die. They're going to live. And they're going to live big for God. They're going to live miraculously for God. They're going to see the water on the rock and the manna in the morning. They're going to witness the goodness of God. This is a generation that's waiting for the miracles. Somebody say God is good. God, you're good.
I will not die, I will live.
Jesus, I'm not going to die in religion. I'm not going to die in worry. I'm not going to die in failure. I'm not going to die, oh God. I'm going to live. Jesus. We cast off those heavy weights. We cast off those besetting sins. We say, God, let him go. Let him go. Let him go.
As long as I shall live. Because he's a great God.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
He's a great God.
Father, help us as a church to make you so great.
You're
to make you great in our homes, our marriages, and our finances, and every area of our life. To make you great.
You're a great.
You're
God.
A great God. Anything less, Lord, won't work. Anything less is not what you are. So we'll have great prayer. We'll have great worship. We'll have great thanksgiving. We'll have great preaching. We'll have great praying. We'll have great singing, God, every area of our life. That's all right. Don't put it back on. And so tonight, Lord God, we thank you. We thank you, Jesus. If you feel like the Holy Spirit wants you to do it, just take somebody by the hand or put your hand on their shoulder, and I want you to pray for them. I want you to speak greatness into them. I want you to speak life into them. I want you to speak a big God into their life, that he would be so big he cannot be contained, and that he would show up so mightily through them and in their life. He would be a God that would be uncontainable. He would be immeasurable. He would be a God that is unfathomable. He would be a God that is unbelievable. He's just a powerful God. He's a powerful God, and we will not deny you your greatness, Lord. We will not deny you your greatness, because you deserve greatness. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God on the sides of the north. Great is our God, and greatly to be praised. He's a great God. He's a great big God. And I pray, Lord, that my brother and my sister tonight would let this great big God out of their life, and they would know, everyone would know, that he's a big God. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Release him, God. Release him. Thank you, Lord. Release that great big God in our lives, Lord. Release him in our lives, Lord, that he'll never, ever, ever be a dashboard God again. He'll never be a trinket around our neck, and he'll never be jewelry in our ears. He will be such a big God. He will not be able to be contained in a photograph or an artist's rendering or on top of a steeple or in stained glass. He will be such a big God that he will overwhelm and overtake. And Father, he will consume. Thank you, Lord. Consume us, God. Lord, we don't want to hold you in a box. We don't want you in a container. We don't want to hold you back and hold you down. We want you to be who you are, a great big God. Great big God, because God is good all the time. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise him with a great praise. Praise him with a great shout. Praise him with a great hand clap. Praise him with a great acclamation, a great proclamation of his goodness, because you alone are good, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if you're up against a situation today where they say it can't be done, that's not true. We were told we couldn't buy property. He said it's not for sale, first of all, by court order. So it can't be sold. And you can't buy it because you don't qualify. And God said, buy it. And so we bought it. That was miracle number one, for $5,000 an acre. And then we were going to go sell it. And they said, well, you can't sell it because you couldn't sell it the first time. When you bought it, it was a miracle that you bought it. But you can't get two miracles. You can't sell it again. But somebody offered us $50,000. And we bought it for $5,000. And God said, sell it. But the court said, you can't sell it. But how many know 5 years later, 5 years, we sold it. We bought and sold what couldn't be bought and sold. Do you hear me? So I don't know what can't be bought or what can't be sold or what shouldn't happen or what can't be. Or it doesn't really matter, because when you have God, you have all you need. Amen? Thank you, Lord. He's a good God all the time. Father, bless your people tonight, Lord. Fill us up, O Lord, with a great praise, with a great testimony, with a great word. Help us, O Lord God, to live great lives for you. Whew. A great big life tomorrow. How many will look for somebody to tell Jesus about tomorrow? Will you try to do that tomorrow? Just tell somebody about Jesus. It'll change your life. And it'll change theirs too. Right? All right. I love you all so much. This is so much fun. I just love being with you. Look forward to it. I get pumped. Pumped up. Anyway, Sunday we'll have a great day. I don't know really. I don't remember what we're ministering, but we'll let the Holy Spirit decide that. It'll be good. Bring a friend with you. Bring somebody that needs Jesus. Even if they're saved, they still need Jesus, right? Everybody needs him. Okay, I love you, and ain't nothing you can do about it. So tell somebody, I love you, and ain't nothing you can do about it. Live right, love everybody, pray hard. See you on Sunday morning.